What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Street Couch Podcast. Right here, we got Billboard Baba.
Woo! I know it feel like things are changing, but just cause our lives are changing, baby, that don't mean that I don't love you.
I don't mean
love you. Still put everything above you.
Put everything
damn true. Late nights when we vibe.
What's up, y'all?
You wanna go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Billboard Baba. I just turned 25, bro. I was about to say 24-year-old. I'm a 25-year-old, fully frontal lobe developed artist from Houston, Texas. I'm Ethiopian-American.
You know, actually, I know you through Mars Alva.
Yes, sir.
He told me you were the guy behind Break the Tension. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, bro. So, man, Break the Tension, I mean, it's within its name, you know? We really try to just completely eradicate this atmospheric feeling of tension sometimes when you go out to events or just kind of anywhere in life. You know, sometimes we act a bit apprehensive or try to act too tough or cool, you know, when it comes to just everyday life. And I feel at the end of the day, like, we're all human.
Yeah.
We're all gonna feel the same emotions, and it's like, why not relate to that through, you know, a medium like music? And that's why we try to break the tension. But it wasn't just me, you know, that thought of the idea. Me and Mars, actually, back in 2021, we went to a performance together that we were both on stage for. And I just remember, like, we were having so much fun with it. But the crowd was so... They were just so stale-faced, like, make a single expression. And I was like, bro, why are y'all, like, we're having a good time. Like, maybe you don't rock with the music, but, like, how do you not, like, fuck with the energy? Like, we're two authentic dudes, and, you know, Mars, man, what a guy.
Shout out
Mr. Alva, bro. The Yapatron himself.
But, dude, yeah, I love that. It was perfect for the podcast, just getting into, like, talk.
That episode was so funny, bro. But, yeah, one day after that event, we were just like, why can't we do something like this ourselves, where we create a space and a community and just try to connect through the music? And the next month, literally December 15, so 3 years ago, about we threw our first ever show, and it's been a ride ever since.
It's pretty dope, man.
Yes, sir.
So, like, where did y'all do it first? Like, y'all do it at a specific venue?
Yeah, or? So the first Break the Tension was at Super Happy Funland.
I love that place.
Dude.
People talk shit about it, but I fucking love it.
It's like, it's a mixed review, bro.
Because some
people really enjoy just the, I guess, decor. You say, bro, it looks like Five Nights at Freddy's, bro. On me. Like, if you just got dropped there with no explanation, and you woke up in Super Happy Funland, bro, you'd freak the fuck out.
Imagine tripping on acid and, like, waking up there, like...
Dog. You would think that all the, like, figurines and... I feel like they got animatronics, bro. They go, like, just jump and attack you, but... Nah, it was a great, you know, first place to throw it, and very memorable event for us, because it was the foundation for realizing that making a vision or a space like this... like, come true.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was crazy. You're like, what the fuck? That's how easy it was to kind of, like, throw your own event and, you know, just connect with people. So, yeah, it's something that, it's honestly really crazy.
It's awesome, man. I didn't go to Break the Tension, but I went to Boys Don't Cry. Was that also you?
Yeah, that was a Break the Tension show. Yeah, okay. So, the thing about Break the Tension is we realized that there are so many different genres within the musical space that, you know, different people resonate with and relate to. So our first event actually was like genreless. Mm. And a lot of our events, we've had artists that range from, you know, neo rock to fucking dream pop to electro R&B, and we have DJs, and we just hella bands. Like, it's such a amalgamation of music that, you know, we were just like, we can't just have one genre or two or three or four, because what if there's somebody that's like, damn, like, I wish they had this? And then we do have this.
So,
Boys Don't Cry specifically, so this year we start taking a direction of trying to throw not only our base events, but more, I guess, genre-focused events.
Okay.
So the Boys Don't Cry was like an alt-pop experience.
Yeah,
if you like saw on the flyer. And then we have a Break the Tension coming up this Sunday.
Okay.
That's more of a hip-hop and R&B experience.
Okay.
And so we're trying to just come up with new ideas and cater to the community and what everybody likes.
That's pretty dope, man. What was that word you used? Amalgamation.
I was like, whoa, what? It means I was about to use another big word for this.
Amalgamation?
Amalgamation. Okay. It basically means when you take everything and just put it together.
Like culmination, kind of?
Yeah. Okay. They're synonyms. So.
Okay.
I was going to say culmination. Okay. I was going to say amalgamation is a culmination.
I know big words too, bro.
It's basically a culmination of everything. Yeah, it's the journalist in me, bro. I'm sorry, bro.
Nah, that's dope, man.
Shout out Eminem, bro, reading a whole dictionary. I read half of it, and then okay. I was like, I can't do this.
I remember in high school, I tried studying for the, what's that test called? The SAT?
SAT, yeah.
I think I tried studying for that, and I had, like, flashcards of, like, words and shit like that.
Yeah, but did you do good?
I don't remember. I think I did, like, average, I guess.
That's fair. Hey. Sometimes the SAT, bro, I walked into one SAT not knowing shit, and I was like, praise God, bro. Like, whatever happens.
Lord, take the wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
I had another question for you. Do you like superheroes or like superhero movies?
Okay, so I do enjoy superheroes. I can't sit here and say like I'm a diehard superhero enthusiast. But if I had to say like my favorite superhero, I would probably pick Spider-Man.
Nice.
Just because they had a black.
Oh, yeah. Miles Morales.
Yeah, true. Miles Morales. But like, I just think, bro, it's actually insane how you can just. And I think that's probably the most realistic superhero.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously you can pick somebody like Superman and just fly everywhere. That wouldn't be fun, bro. You're not like, you know, if you're that removed from society, it's like, damn, bro. Like, I'm really the only person that can really fuck some shit up.
Yeah.
But Spider-Man gets his ass beat by, like, strong
and,
people.
And he's like an actual dude, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So.
Like, he has, like girl problems and, like, insecurity problems and shit, you know?
He's relatable.
Bro. Yeah, dude.
Exactly.
What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, so I am a diehard superhero fan since I was a little kid, and I feel like now as an adult doing this music thing, I kind of like let it bleed into like what I'm doing, because like in my mind it's kind of crazy sometimes, and I think, all right, like we're out here, all of us, like superheroes, you know, like you and me, we got like our actual identity and then we have our like persona, you know what I mean?
That's a really good way of thinking about it.
Yeah, because like me, for example, I'm like, I'm Daniel, but my persona is like Danny Tabs, and my superpowers are like, you know, like this, for example, like podcasting, like playing guitar, you know, and like I never asked you for your actual name. Like, do you want to reveal it on here?
No, I'm just kidding. my legal name's out there because I do journalism work, but Ebenezer Yonis.
Okay, so like that's like your actual identity, and then you have your persona, Billboard Baba. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro. Honestly, I really like the comparison between, you know, having that superhero persona with what we do, versus like our not real lives, because it is our real lives.
Yeah,
but it's just we're in that developmental phase right now, so it's not our main priority. But I see it as a superhero, as a superpower, definitely. Like,
or
especially,
like, go ahead.
Like, especially just being on stage. Like, I feel like that's my superpower, just being able to enjoy the moment, take it all in, and like I never get nervous when I perform, bro. I just hop on there and just go crazy.
I performed I think like 2 weeks ago, and the only reason I was kind of nervous was because I hadn't performed in like a year, like more than a year.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like crippling nervousness. It was more like exciting nervousness, you know, like, dude, I'm fucking here.
That's
doing
always
this shit.
That little pit in your stomach.
Actually, I felt it in my legs. Like, my legs were shaking, bro. I was
really?
Like, dude, but whatever. Like, I'm going to, like, play it off and just, like, dance along with, like, my legs shaking. You know what I mean? I'm going to just go like
exactly.
this and shit.
It's literally shaking the jitters. Yeah, I feel you, bro.
But, yeah, like, when was your first time on stage?
My first time on stage? That's a good question. I mean, it's... Okay, I'm going to answer that, but real quick, going back to the superhero question, so even though I'm not, like, into superheroes, I feel anime still
love
has
anime.
Their own superheroes, and
yeah, 100%
I love anime.
Do you like JJK?
I do, bro. Itadori, man, what a guy. Like, they're all superheroes. So if I had to say my favorite superhero, bro, I'd say Luffy from One Piece.
Oh, shit.
Like,
this is a good one. This is a really good one.
I love, bro. I've been reading, watching One Piece since I was, like, 7 years
old. Love One Piece, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, he understands it. But, sorry, going back to the other question. What was the other question?
When was your first time on stage?
First time on stage, yeah. So my first time on stage, actually, was when I performed at the UH Red Room. Back in late 2019.
Okay.
It was like September 2019, October 2019. And I remember I just signed up for like an open mic that they had. And some of my friends from college were there, and it was a pretty like packed room. There was probably like 50-60 people there for a first performance. But I'd performed before, like in a band setting and for talent show and stuff. Like I've done cover songs, like in a high school talent show. So it wasn't my first time performing, but first time performing as Baba. And it was an amazing feeling, you know, having a song written by you, that you go on stage, people are watching you.
Yeah.
They're there in that moment that you're on stage, they're there for you.
Yeah.
And that's just it's a mind-boggling feeling, bro. And it was amazing. And ever since, I feel I've just honed my craft of performing. And like when I perform, I don't see naked people. Like I just act like no one is there. I'm like, bro, if I was performing to me, like how would I like?
Sometimes it's easy because like the lights are kind of like blinding you, and you can't really see the people.
I love that. Yeah. But even sometimes I'm like, damn, where is anybody there? Or is just the lights are too bright?
Shit, I fucking had a thought. Okay, so like whenever you're telling me about that, I remember like going back to Super Happy Funland. I remember going to a show there. I might have gotten baked, you know, like allegedly.
Sources say.
Yeah, sources. And I was watching this band called In the Low, and I was just watching them, you know, and I was like, dude, everything they're playing right now came out of this guy's mind, you know.
Like, it's crazy like, to think that. Yeah.
Every time, like, I was just thinking, like, everything I'm hearing, everything that I'm seeing, came from this guy's mind. Like, that's fucking insane, bro. And I was just there, like. Just like stone, you know what I mean?
You're just in awe. Yeah, it's crazy, you know. I mean, but just in anything you do in life, you know, like we were talking outside for a little bit, how you're really fascinated by computers and how you've dived into what was it?
AutoCAD. Yeah.
You know, you have to write the code, bro. You have to be able to put that together. And so, I mean, music, code. Anything in life, like, it's crazy when you're appreciative of something like that and you're like, damn, bro, how the fuck did you sit here and think of this to come out the way that it did?
Yeah.
And like, that's the highest thought, allegedly.
And, like, something I think about is if you look around you, like, everything around you was once in someone's head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all these mics or whatever, all this guitar, these pedals. So it was in someone's head and they designed it. Yeah, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is, bro. It is. There's a feeling of, this is completely unrelated to that, but I feel like it is in a sense. But do you know what Sonder is?
Sonder, that sounds very familiar.
So it's the feeling that everybody has their own complex, unique, like completely unknown lives that you will never get a chance to know.
Kind of like some multiverse shit.
On some multiverse shit. Like,
okay.
I saw a picture the other day, and it had, like, 100 cars in it, and there was a caption for each car, and I was like, this person is driving home after finding out they got promoted. This person is driving home after finding out their dad passed away.
This person
just got their first kiss. This person this, and it's like,
man. That's wild.
It's so outrageous to just really take all in. Yeah. But... Sorry, let me not take over there.
No. I just thought of another question. So, like, it's a more personal question. Do you have anything that you struggle with, like, mental health-wise, or just, like in your daily life, you know?
You know, I appreciate that question, because it's good to be open. We all have our struggles.
Yeah, for
I'd
sure,
definitely
man.
Be lying if I said I didn't. Like, especially recently, because balancing with... the journalism with the music, like I moved out from the Houston area to Sealy, and living there, even though I'm only like an hour away from most things, because of the tedious job I have in journalism, it just sucks the life out of me sometimes. And so I haven't been able to, I guess, go out to as many events, see my friends, or even work on music for a moment in time. I had to adjust to the new job and everything. Now I'm working a lot more on music. But it all kind of came down on me. And especially sometimes smoking, I feel like, can make you forget all the, like, things you're upset about.
Yeah, yeah.
So even that itself, I'm like, bro, I want to be able to be sober and sound in the situation that I'm in. But sometimes, you know, it's a, what's it called? What's that word for, it's a vice. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their vice. Yeah. So I would say for me, like, definitely some things I've dealt with, like, regard to, sorry, I got to collect my thoughts, I'm high. We'll cut that out. But just regarding, you know, kind of that feeling of being lonely, you know, not seeing my friends or being in the community as much, and that's definitely taking a toll.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would say just, you, weed can be fun, but just be careful with weed, okay? If you're smoking it for the wrong reasons, that's when it starts to become an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
If you, like, overdo it also.
Yeah, know. Definitely, definitely. But also, look at Snoop.
For real,
look at Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Bro. Like, how the fuck do they smoke so
Wiz
much?
Khalifa.
Wiz Khalifa, bro. Like, how? They're lying, bro. I feel like they just spark it up for a video, and they're like, all right, put that shit out.
You know? Like, I got that shit away from you, bro.
Right, right. Imagine in an alternate universe, bro, Snoop Dogg is like an anti, like, drug ambassador.
Do you watch South Park?
Bro, I used to, yeah.
There's an episode where like Will Smith moves into South Park, and he calls Snoop Dogg, and like Snoop Dogg, he's like making like a rap, you know, and his phone rings, and then he answers it, and then like talks like completely different, like, oh, hello, William, how are you, man?
Like with a white and white person voice. It's code switching, bro. It's code switching. I'm not gonna lie, I'm definitely guilty of code switching, bro.
Bro, yeah, same. Especially if you talk to like adults or like your parents, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Older adults.
I would say it's more so because the like the area I work in is definitely not as diverse ethnically as like Houston.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I definitely code switch over there.
Okay.
Because a lot of the slang, a lot of like, and also the town that I work in is a lot of older folks.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the younger generation here, the more open-minded and I guess leaning towards those artistic or creative modes. So I have to definitely code switch over there. But I feel like everyone has had to.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, of course, so, man.
Yeah.
Especially if you're like at school or at work.
Yeah, you know, definitely. I
mean? Definitely. Be more professional or whatever.
Imagine you
like,
slip up, bro. Nah. I'm guilty of slipping up at least once or twice in like in a professional environment. Bro, I had this one time. It's not necessarily code switching, but it's just random. When I used to work at a restaurant called Papacito's, you probably heard of it.
Yeah, yeah.
We're having like a big company training, right? And I remember this dude was in the back kitchen. Didn't know who he was. Never seen him a day in my life at that restaurant. And nobody told me who he was, nothing. So our training comes around and we're like trying out cocktails and all that. And one of the assistant managers, she's like, okay, guys, how do we greet customers? What do we tell them if they want a drink? And I raise my hand. I say, I'm like, what the fuck do you want? Like, as a joke, because the staff, like, I fuck with them. Like, we're all, like, we would all joke around all the time. And I'm like, what the fuck do you want? As if I would say that to a customer. Bro, it's dead quiet, bro. And she's like, well, although that's a joke, that's not funny. And I was like, oh okay. And later on, I found out that was the fucking vice president of the company, bro. They were so mad at me. I didn't get fired, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But code switching. Important. Yeah, yeah.
It's hilarious, man. So, like, how did you get into... I mean, like, I know we talked about it out there, but I'm going to talk for the audience how you got into journalism.
So, journalism, it was actually a unfortunate story, but... Yeah, everything has its happy ending. So I used to be in band, like I was telling you. I used to play clarinet. I love clarinet. Matter of fact, if I wasn't a journalist, I would most likely have been a clarinetist in, like, a symphony orchestra or something.
Damn, so...
Yeah, I loved it. I was obsessed with it. And so entering high school, my freshman year, I was like, okay, I'm going to get to the top band by the end of the year. Like, when I go to state solo ensemble, I'm going to do a class one solo. I'm going to kill that shit. Like, I would practice every day obsessively. And I had a band director that did not like me simply because of the fact that I tried too hard. And she told some of the other students this, like the little band count, band student council they had. Verbatim told them, yo, AB tries too hard. It's like, you're a student in school, bro. Like, you're supposed to try hard, especially if you're passionate about something.
Yeah.
And so I asked her, oh, can I do like a class one solo? She said, nah, I don't think you're ready for it. You're a freshman, this, that. But then she gave another freshman a class one. And she was like, oh, but if you can get one on this, I'll give you a class one solo next year, this, this, that, right? My sophomore year comes around, bro. You can rent clarinets from school. So I rent or try to rent a clarinet. And she's like, damn, what's crazy is that we don't have any working clarinets anymore.
Dude.
So you're going to have to take this broken one and they're going to come and fix it. But it's going to be a couple weeks into the school year. So I went the first 4 weeks of my sophomore year without like a clarinet. And then I'm like, okay, where the fuck is it? Is it fixed? I go to her office. I'm like, is it fixed yet? She's like, oh no. Like, he hasn't come. He keeps rescheduling. I'll let you know when it's fixed. Bro, another 4 weeks goes by. I'm like, is he gonna fix it, whatnot, this, that. She's like, oh man, like, he came and then he didn't have time. I was like, what the fuck, like, this isn't making sense. I'm like, give me the clarinet, I'm gonna go take it to get fixed. I take it to get fixed, bro, and it's the most simple solution. It was like, oh, this was just, you need to tweak this, there you go. And I was like, bro, this bitch actually hates me. Like, a grown adult is hating on a 15 year old for like trying to pursue a dream. It was crazy, bro. So I go back to band after that. And the entire 8 weeks I didn't have my clarinet, she would make me, like, finger practice while we're having, like, a full practice. All the other instruments, I'm there sitting there like this, bro. And so I come back, and she's like, oh, you have your clarinet now? You need to catch up on 8 weeks of lost, like, time. Like,
yeah.
You have all this work you need to do. I'm like, bro, what the fuck? You mean to tell me I have to do all that shit? I didn't have a clarinet, and, like, it's all dependent on my grade. So I had to, like, fucking take recordings from my homies because every week we would submit recordings.
Oh.
Like, bro, I didn't have anything and it was due in like 2 weeks. So I asked my homies for their recordings. I kind of tweaked it, this, that, submitted it, and I was barely gonna pass the class. And then I was like, bro, like, honestly, I need to get out of this because
it's kind of toxic.
It was very toxic. And I got out, and the club I joined, which goes back to journalism, was journalism. Because I was like, damn, I love writing. Like, let me at least try this out. So I was in high school journalism, sophomore year to senior year. I worked from being just like a regular reporter to an editor. I really liked it. But I wanted to go into like broadcast. So went to UH, studied broadcast journalism for 4 years. Got a bachelor's degree in it. And the broadcast journalism like network is very hard to get in, just off rip. Like,
yeah.
Straight out of college. Like, and especially, like, a major channel like ABC or CBS or all those. You usually have to start in a really small town. So I was applying to jobs and everything and wasn't having any luck. For the first year, I was working at this coffee shop called Tiny's Milk and Cookies. And I had a friend in college. Man, like, I literally would not be where I am without him. So I have to shout him out. His name's Trenton Whiting. And... his name is Trenton Whiting, and we just stayed connected throughout college, after college. He made music too, so we would collab. We actually have a song that we worked on together.
That's dope.
Yeah. One day on his Instagram, like, I saw he posted a story that he wrote, and I was like, yo, like a print story, like an actual physical newspaper you pick up. And I was like, yo, like, is your newspaper hiring? Because I just want any journalism job at that point. And 4 weeks later, I got on board, was on this paper for about a year, got laid off by that company because of some crazy stuff we won't get into. Then they brought me back with a promotion, And here I am now as the editor of the Colorado County Citizen as well. So y'all go check that out.
That's dope as fuck, man.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like journalism, like working journalism, helps you out with like your own stuff with like Billboard Baba? Kind of like promoting yourself or like just creating content for yourself in a way?
That's a good question. I would say so far, I never looked at intertwining kind of my skills that I was learning from journalism with music. It just kind of felt like journalism is just, it's such a very like work heavy job and time consuming job. So at first I was just like, damn, like being in this job is taking away from me being able to pursue music, which is like my number one passion. But I've been brainstorming ways to really like intertwine the two. Journalism definitely, and music, I actually made a post about this yesterday. They're one and the same because, I mean, writing music is telling a story.
Yeah.
I look at journalism the exact same way. Mm. So in that sense, I definitely do feel that journalism has helped me sharpen my skills as a writer even more. I thought I was a good writer before I started working as a journalist, but now I just feel like I have a lot more attention to detail to the lyrics and what I produce when I write.
So yeah.
I definitely will say it's beneficial. It really is. So it
makes a lot of sense because like I didn't think of it that way, like the writing aspect.
Yeah, very similar, bro. I mean, like writing a book is like writing music. You just, with music, you make words rhyme and you space things out and
yeah.
It's all a creative, artistic outlet.
Do you write a lot of lyrics often? Like, do you keep like a notebook full of lyrics or like on your phone?
Yeah, on my phone, definitely. I would say some artists write like crazy. I'm not a great freestyler, but freestyling helps me like really formulate at least the way I want a track to sound. But as far as writing, I'd say maybe 1 to 2 songs like a week.
Okay.
But a lot of those songs won't make it to the light of day. I'll write this and be like, nope, I don't like it.
Okay.
I'll write this and I don't like that.
Yeah. Do you like sit down and have like writing sessions for songs, or like do you just like think of ideas real quick and just like write them down as you think them?
It's a mix of both for sure. Like, I'll definitely feel very inspired like in certain moments and just sit down, play a couple tracks and like write to it. Other times I'll kind of just be on the road or out and about and I'll have like literally just a random sound in my head pop up.
Yeah.
And then I'll kind of feel it and then think of a couple lyrics. Like if you were to go through my phone, you'd find some notes where it's literally just one line. Because like I'll think of a bar and be like, damn, that'd be fire. And I write it down. So it's definitely a mix of both.
Yeah.
And I think freestyling, like I mentioned, like that is probably my biggest way that I write music.
Okay.
Is I'll just freestyle either a melody or like I'll say words that I really like, and then that's the foundation of a song.
Because like I'm not really like a rapper or like probably like not even much of a vocalist, but something I've been doing lately is like putting on lo-fi beats like while I shower and try to like freestyle rap over them.
Really? Bro, I think freestyling, a lot of people just associate it with rap. And I just think that's completely misguided.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, every genre except, I mean, instrumentals, you have to write the lyrics for a song.
Yeah.
And so if there are lyrics involved, you can freestyle to anything. Like, I freestyle to rock beats, bro. I freestyle to fucking R&B. I freestyle to, so many different genres, because a lot of people, I would try to disprove them. Like, no, it's not just rap. Like, you can freestyle. Like, I could put on a Lana Del Rey track right now and just freestyle a song, not a rap song.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You know what I just realized? I think jazz is kind of freestyle, because, like, a lot of those, like, jazz recordings, like, all those, like they weren't written out. Like, they were just feeling the music and just playing whatever they felt, you know? Cause in high school I was in jazz band for a little bit.
Really, what'd you play?
Guitar.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, cause like in high school like I didn't know how to play anything at first, just guitar, and then the marching band was having tryouts for a guitarist, cause they were gonna cover Muse, you know, the band Muse,
yeah.
And they needed a guitarist like to play with the pit, and I tried out and like I got in. I don't know how, cause I just started playing guitar. And I got in, like, probably because, like, only I auditioned. I don't know.
No, it's because of the talent, bro. It's because of the talent.
But I got in, and then once marching season was over, they were like, all right, do you want to join jazz band and concert band? And I was like, yeah, I joined jazz band with the guitar and concert band. I had to, like, learn a whole new instrument, which was percussion. It's like a bunch of instruments, damn. Percussion instruments.
But did you enjoy it?
I loved it, dude. I loved it. Like, to this day, I still do, like, percussion beats, like, with my, like, thighs and my hands and shit.
Like, hop on the drums.
Sometimes, yeah, I'll hop on the drums and I'll, like, play. Like, I'm not as good as our drummer, Richard, but, like, it's pretty fun just to, like, mess around with the drums, you know?
It is, bro. Especially, I feel like it's an outlet to get out
here. Yeah. It's a good cardio exercise also.
Yeah, you know? I bet.
Even with your feet, your wrist, you're just, like,
dude, yeah. Pull my hamstring.
But, yeah, I was in jazz band, and I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, yeah. And we had, like, instructors come. Like, they're, like, alumni, I think. Mm-hmm. There's one guy I want to shout out. His name is Aaron Montes. He's a saxophonist here in Houston. At the time...
Aaron Montes.
Aaron.
Sounds very familiar.
He worked with... I'm not sure if you know him, but his name is Bradley For You. He's a vocalist / guitarist here in Houston. But Aaron, he was an instructor for jazz band at the time. And yeah, him and the other band instructors, they would tell us, okay, so like what jazz basically is there's a rhythm section. Mm-hmm. Drums, bass, sometimes guitar. And then there's the section that provides like the bass line of the melody. Mm-hmm. And then there's the people that solo over everything else. And solo is like freestyle. You know, you just hear, like, the notes, the beat, how fast the song is going. You feel the mood, and you just hop on and just play whatever you feel. And that's what a lot of jazz is.
That is freestyle.
Yeah.
That is. I mean, shit. Various different forms, bro.
Even, like, right now we're freestyling, you know, right? In a way.
Conversations are freestyle, bro. You got to think on the fly, like, what to respond and stuff. So when people say freestyle is hard, I'm like, bro, try having a conversation. Like
earlier outside we were talking. Like, I feel like outside we were talking about, like, a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
But I was telling you how, like, the reason I started Street Couch was because, like, I felt like I wasn't good at talking and, like, speaking to people. And I saw it as a way for me to, like, get better. You know what I mean? By, like, putting my weakness out there on the spot with people watching, you know, listening, my voice.
It puts the pressure on you.
Yeah, and, like, not even, like, pressure, but, yeah, it does. But also it kind of, like, makes me accountable in a way, you know. Like, okay, like, I have to get better or else the next episode won't be as good, you know. Like, each episode I have to improve somehow. And at first, like, I used to go back and listen to the episodes and, like, listen to what I said.
Try to see
where
you could kind of improve.
Yeah, and, like, I heard, yeah, I just did it right now. Like, I would say a lot, or
bro,
like, you know.
It's really hard, man. Just try like.
Bro,
like,
yeah.
Those words
yeah. That one's even worse. Yeah.
But no, bro, be proud of yourself, because a lot of people don't tackle insecurity.
A lot of people are scared.
Exactly. Of improving or getting rid of a fear. Because fears are okay to have, but when you let that fear consume you and you don't try to do something.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, bro.
Yeah, it is, because... It's like, imagine how your life would be if you were able to get past this hump.
It's like what you were saying earlier about how, like, you have, like, some whole other life that never happened. I forgot what you were saying, but you were saying how, like, and I mentioned how it's kind of, like, multiverse-like.
It is, yeah. You know? It's called Sonder, yeah.
Sonder, there you go, there
yeah,
you go.
But, yeah, nah, you're definitely a great conversationalist.
Bro. Thanks, man, I appreciate
you're,
that.
You're doing a good job.
Because I still don't think that, but...
Nah, bro... You wouldn't believe how many people truly can't talk, especially the younger generation. Especially the younger generation. They're just so fried by...
Chat, is this real?
Chat, is this... I mean, that's funny. I'm not gonna lie. I'd be saying chat a lot. That was pretty good. But it's just the way they have conversations. They're not able to flow. They're not really able to... I remember I interviewed this high school girl for the... girls soccer team that I covered at a previous newspaper, and damn, I hope she never sees this, but every 2 seconds she said like, she was like, yeah, so like, I'm like, yeah, and like when I was like playing like I was like, what the, I know I just said like right there myself, but
this is overboard,
bro. I was I was flabbergasted because people just can't talk anymore and they can't read either, so maybe it goes hand in hand.
That reminds me of have you seen those edits on Instagram and TikTok about like brain rot or whatever? Like this movie, if it was brain rot, like, because the ones I see are like Spider-Man, if it was brain rot, and like they do like AI edits of their voices.
Yes, bro.
Or Peter Parker's talking like a like Gen Z, like, oh, like Skibbity, Sussy Baka, whatever.
We're so cooked, bro. Chat, are we cooked, chat?
Is this brain rot, chat? I had more questions. You see, this is part of the freestyle where, like, I'm trying to figure out, all right, what am I going to play next?
Right? It's hard sometimes.
So, like, what are your plans for next year for Billboard Baba? Do you have any releases or performances planned for next year?
Could you ask that question? I just have to check some real quick.
All right, sorry about that, bro.
But ask that so that we can.
Okay, so the question was, do you have anything planned for next year for Billboard Baba? Any performances or releases?
Yeah, so next year I'm really just trying to go all in. You know, I'm 25 now, and I've been making music actually for 5 years, bro. This date right here on my wrist, I don't know if y'all can see that.
Okay.
That's the date that I released my first ever single, and I got this tattoo because I was like, I'm gonna look back at this.
That's dope as fuck.
The moment that I blow up and be like, it took this many days to get to where I wanted to be.
That's dope.
But over the past 5 years, just a lot of life, you know? That's pretty much the best way to summarize it. And with 2025 coming, I really just want to go full steam ahead, drop every month. Bare minimum. I have a lot of songs in the vault that I really want people to see the light of day. A lot of great messages that I just love putting in my music. As far as Break the Tension, we got a lot of crazy things coming up. I don't want to say too much until they're all official.
Okay.
But you know, we had 5 events this year. That's the most we've ever had in 1 year.
Damn.
And we're really trying to take the brand and the event itself to the next level and really just try to expand it for the people that come who love what we do and love what Break the Tension is about. But I'm thinking about dropping a song before this year ends. I know there's not too much time. So if I do, just check out my Instagram and you'll keep up to that. But yeah, a song every month. Haven't decided what song I'm gonna drop in January yet, but I do have the December one locked in.
Nice.
Break the Tension, our next event, I will probably say will be February, or March, one of those dates. And with Billboard Baba, man, you know, sometimes you don't really know, I guess, even short or long-term plan until things start to unravel.
Yeah, so for sure.
We'll see where the year takes me, but I hope it's everything that I wish for.
Nice, man. Yeah, I feel like plans always change, you know what I mean?
You can't control it. Bro, speaking of which, there's a song that I just dropped three weeks ago, called It Never Goes to Plan.
Nice.
Because literally nothing goes to play.
Yeah, bro. Murphy's Law, I think.
Murphy's Law, bro. I should have put a bar back in there.
I was going to say. So, like, how was it like playing Springstock? That was pretty cool seeing you play Springstock.
Yeah, bro. Springstock, shout out fucking Dallas. Shout out Austin, man. Shout out the Burkhalter family, man. What a group of legends. They put together the whole festival. And
Austin and Dallas are people?
Yeah.
Like, not the cities?
See, because I was thinking from, like, I know the perspective, but hearing that aloud, it's like, yeah, I'm talking about the cities. Yeah, so Dallas Burkhalter, okay. He's the founder of Springstock.
Okay.
And his brother Austin, his other family members, they kind of help out with the event and put things together really, really, really smoothly, bro. Like,
nice,
one of the best run events in Houston.
Yeah, bro. For sure, dude.
Yeah, and it was an honor to be on that stage, bro. It was so much fun. My last event there, bro, somebody brought out a tortoise.
Yeah.
In the middle of my fucking performance, bro. That shit was so funny because, like, you know, as a performer, you have to really adjust quick time to when things happen.
Yeah.
Bro, that tortoise took all my shine, bro. I was like, bro, this motherfucker, bro. What was that, Master Shifu from Kung Fu Panda?
No,
what was the turtle?
Oogway.
Oogway, Master Oogway, bro.
Life is present.
I was like, Oogway, get out the fucking way, bro. But I just adjusted on the fly. I was like, bro, what if I perform to it?
Yeah.
So I was just this shit was so funny. And oh man, it was a beautiful day. Like,
it was beautiful. Yeah.
I love the energy. All the other artists were great. And that was my second time performing at Springstock. And it's just gotten better every single time. But it was awesome. It was amazing.
How did you get on there at first? Like, did you apply to perform, or like, how did that work?
Yeah, so I applied, but I actually also knew Dallas from UH. So when he first thought of the idea and put it out, like, he urged me to apply, like, put in like the application, mm-hmm. and I got on, and the rest is history, man. It was such an amazing first event back in April. April 27th, okay. of this year. Fucking fantastic, bro. That event was so good, and it was a no-brainer to come back
this past
October for it as well. And coincidentally, bro, very coincidentally, so the first Springstock I performed at was a week after one of my break detention events, and then the second Springstock I performed at was a week after another break detention event.
That's funny.
No Springstocks happening this time.
That was a good show, because I don't know if you know this, but Max Diaz and Strawberry Milk Cult, they're like one of the top bands in Houston right now.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool seeing both of them.
Yeah, bro, it's crazy. I mean, it really was, the lineup was outrageous. Like, all the artists from start to finish were incredible.
Telebasters were really cool too.
Yeah.
Junkyard Cat.
It's a testament to the quality that Springstock brings, and I'm proud to have been on the lineup, bro.
I also have a question. Have you ever heard of a rapper named Froze Life?
Froze? Nah.
You should check him out. He's a Houston rapper. Like, you should collab with him, not gonna lie. Because really? y'all give the same energy.
Really?
You know, like,
I'm gonna check him out, bro.
The same way y'all dress, kinda have like the same vibe.
Damn, do I have like a fucking lost twin or something?
Probably, bro.
That's crazy, bro.
But he's a really cool guy. I interviewed him twice already. I met him last year. He's also a drummer for a band called Mask Tape.
Mask Tape?
Yeah, Mask Tape.
That's actually cool.
Yeah, they're really good. They're a really cool band. Just check them out.
What
too.
Type of band are they?
Kind of hard to describe. I guess they're like alternative rock / post hardcore. I don't know how to describe it. Not gonna lie, but yeah.
Hey, I just gotta listen.
Yeah, you gotta listen to it, bro. Anything else you wanna mention before you close us out? Any you wanna plug anything else? Shout out anyone?
Shit, I would say, man, break detention coming up. Literally, I don't know when this is gonna be posted. But today is December 21st. We have our 8th break detention tomorrow, December 22nd. It's going to be an absolutely insane event. I mean, every lineup that we have for every event has just gotten better and better and better and bigger. And it's just amazing to see how the brand is resonating with not just the people who go, but with the artists who are on there. It's gonna be a great event. Break Detention 2025. We got so much coming up. Just dropped the song November 30th. It never goes to plan. It's one of my favorite songs I've ever written. It's an Afro pop song, and it's really personal. I just talk about my life and relate it to how everyone goes through the same phase of not being able to control what's going on in your life. You know, whether it be a loved one that passes away or goes through a health crisis, or you lose your job, or your spouse or somebody you know is in an unfortunate, like, there's just so many things that can happen. And, you know, that song is the fruit of all those feelings, and it means a lot to me. So y'all go stream it. It's on all platforms. if y'all like journalism and shit, want to read my stories, bro, go to the Colorado County Citizen, bro, Ebenezer Yonas. I actually just covered in the past month two murder trials. Our high school team went to state football championships for the first time and won. That was insane. I went to Dallas Cowboys Stadium like 3 days ago. A lot of cool stories. Yeah, if you like journalism, go read it.
Dope, man.
But yeah, Billboard Baba, definitely trying to be on the charts, like the name says. Oh, Billboard charts.
And manifest it.
Yeah, in 2025, you know, I pray that it's just a year that helps me reach those heights.
Oh, yeah, man. Just keep grinding. That's it. You know?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure having you on, man. I've been trying to have you on for a while now.
Yeah, like, that's life, bro. But thank you for having me on, bro.
Of course, dude.
You're a great host.
Thanks, man. You're a great guest. Thanks again, Billboard Baba. This has been The Street Couch. Everyone watching, everyone listening. Yeah, these are M's. Pretty soon, we'll have an actual couch.
On the street.
Yeah, no, for sure. It'll happen in the future, for sure. But everyone watching, everyone listening, thank you. Have a good day. Have a good night. Have a good life.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. Have the Rick and Morty holiday shirt. Alright, peace. And pull up, she just been the drop now. She a dime, but I'm a quarterback, be making touchdowns. Calm down, we just never come down. Even when the sun down, we keep going, merry go round.